stepping to the party, I look so fly. Look at me, look at me. I'm a cool guy, I got a sick leather jacket and a chain smoking. Now I'm hanging out with every single one of the cool folks. Who is this? Who the fuck is that? Well, that's a bad motherfucker and he doesn't take shit. You know he walks so cool and he talks so slow. But wait, that's just my reflection.
Welcome to Hey Wait, Shut Up, the only podcast allowed on the International Space Station. I'm your host, John.
And I'm Travis.
Cosmonaut Travis.
Cosmonaut Travis. Yeah, I heard that the new crew of the ISS brought all the recordings of our current episodes and future episodes up with them to listen to.
The Russians, yeah, they actually brought it up. Putin is a huge fan of our podcast, it turns out. He mandated.
Really weird, and not the target audience, but, you know, it is what it is.
Not our target audience, though.
Yeah, kind of our target audience is whoever the fuck will listen to us.
We appreciate all listeners, civilian and autocratic in nature. We love you equally. Travis, I want to start off with sort of a question for you. Would you rather fight Joe Rogan or Seth Rogan? Think carefully, because I have some pretty hot opinions on this.
If you caught me off guard on this one, okay.
Yeah. Well, if you anger me, we will cancel the podcast.
Interesting. I'm gonna go ahead. We've talked about not fighting Joe Rogan already on this podcast. So I'm gonna say Seth Rogan.
I would call that the incorrect answer.
Interesting. Do tell.
Here's my thought process. Right. I think Seth Rogan's kind of a bigger guy.
Okay.
And so I'm not confident that I could take Seth Rogan in a fight, and I'm not sure, like, Seth Rogan is so nice that I don't think I want to be able to take Seth Rogan in a fight. Like, I don't want to be in any situation in which I might have to hit America's sweetheart, Seth Rogan.
I do agree with that.
But I'm absolutely fine with Joe Rogan kicking the shit out of me doing some Muay Thai shit.
Okay. I see where you're going with this. I'd like to think that if the situation arises where I might have to fight Seth Rogan, that it probably wouldn't actually result in an actual fight.
You think of it ending kind of one of the slap fights that he does in his comedies?
Either
his
that or just comedies. A huge bong rip or two.
What if you had to do what if the fight was like Seth Rogan challenges you to a fight and you get to pick your battle, sort of like that guy from the Judge Roy Bean story, like Seth Rogen challenges you to a fight, so you get to pick the battle. What do you challenge him to that you can beat him in but not hurt him?
I cannot smoke as much weed as him. I'm 100% guarantee that.
So what would you challenge him to?
Days sober, maybe.
Days sober. That's
Kind of
toss up there, I think.
I mean, this is based off the assumption that Seth Rogen does, in fact, smoke as much weed as his movies lead me to believe he does.
Are you proposing that Seth Rogen, the character, is all made up? You think real Seth Rogen doesn't smoke any weed whatsoever?
I think it's possible. I mean, look at Stephen Colbert. The Stephen Colbert is not the Stephen Colbert from the whatever show is called.
The Colbert Report, please.
I don't think that's the correct name.
That's exactly how they pronounced it, I swear to God.
I don't think that's it.
You don't think that's how they pronounced it? You're talking about the show that he had
Stephen
on.
Stephen Colbert hosts The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I think you've had that wrong this entire time.
I hate you. The podcast is now canceled.
Yeah. So, but it's a different, he plays a character on that show. I don't think it's too out of a left field to assume that Seth Rogen also plays a character on his movies.
You're arguing that Seth Rogen does not smoke any weed.
He probably smokes some.
Here's the thing. If Seth Rogen, the person, does not smoke as much weed as any of his characters or even close to his characters or any amount of weed, then you have to admit that Seth Rogen is the greatest actor of our generation.
Second greatest actor of our generation.
Who's the first?
Mr. Shia LaBeouf.
I love you. We're not supposed to talk about Shia LaBeouf, Travis. Oh my God. The podcast curse is alive. We talked about Jim Henson last week, and lo and behold, there's a Jim Henson movie in the works. So
we can bring things to life. We will them into existence purely by talking about them nonsensically on this podcast.
I'm so scared of our power. Let's jump into the hard-hitting news that the people come to our podcast for, Travis.
Yeah, I think we should. And did you want to start off with how train lyrics make no fucking sense?
Yeah. They don't. They don't really. And this is sort of, a lot of this is predicated on the lyrics to Drops of Jupiter, which, do you have those pulled up, or do you just want me to read some of them to you?
I've got them pulled up now.
Okay. So now that she's back in the atmosphere, right off the bat, that one makes sense. That one, Pat Monahan definitely could have fallen in love with a cosmonaut or a space person. Astronaut, that's what they're called.
Okay, if that's what we are, okay, that's something we're going to consider realistic. Okay,
I would consider that the most realistic of this song, right? Because the next one is with Drops of Jupiter in Her Hair. Now, I don't know what the atmosphere of Jupiter is like.
It's made up of mostly hydrogen and helium gases.
This has thrown a wrench into my plan, because I guess that would sort of result in water, maybe?
Yeah, I guess. It can result in water. I don't think that drops of liquid hydrogen or helium are going to be okay in someone's hair.
Okay, yeah. So that line's already out then, right? That makes no sense. She acts like summer and walks like rain. None of it makes any sense. Since the return from her stay on the moon. So he's saying in the song she went to the moon, which is realistic given what we know about space travel currently. But he also said she had drops of Jupiter in her hair. So it's an immediate contradiction. And I'm not trying to dog on Train and Pat Monahan. I love this band. I saw them in concert when I was a teenager.
14 times.
Just one time, but that was the first time I smelled weed.
Nice.
I didn't smoke it, but I smelled it at a Train concert. My first dance at my wedding with my wife was also to Marry Me by Train.
Nice. Train is an important part of your life.
Yeah, so I think I'm uniquely qualified and allowed to really just dog on them for whatever words they're putting in these songs, because they don't make sense.
Okay, so let's...
He's married... Okay, wait. Shut up. I'm reading more into this, right?
Okay.
Is it possible Pat Monahan feels like in his life he has been visited by an extraterrestrial person who did do all of these things? Because I guess at no point does Pat say, she's a human, she's a real life human, she's got all the human parts, a boob and a butt and another boob. Right? He doesn't say those parts. So he's leaving open the possibility that Pat Monahan thinks he has been visited by extraterrestrial life, and he is in love with it.
You went a different direction than I was going to go.
Well, I didn't know it was... I started reading the lyrics and really thinking about it. It's the only thing that makes sense if you're trying to understand Drops of Jupiter. Right? Because he talks about that. He says, now that she's back in the atmosphere, I'm afraid that she might think of me as plain old Jane, told a story about a man who was too afraid to fly, so he never did land. So he's worried that she won't love him because he's just a human. He's not a space invader man, like she's used to dating.
Space invader man, okay.
Right.
So you want me to believe that he in truth fell in love with a lady who did actually sail across the sun. Shut up. Yeah, put her boat on the sun and took a fucking ride.
Yes. It's the only thing that makes sense. And all the terrestrial stuff that he talks about in the song. So he talks about deep fried chicken. He talks about talking on the phone. These are all things that she checks out Mozart while she does Tai Bo. She's trying to learn.
She's ingratiating herself into our culture.
She's trying to learn the culture because she's trying to breed with Pat to save her race of space people. So she has to know everything. But he knows the truth, but he doesn't care. But she doesn't know that. And this would be a beautiful rom-com.
Is it a rom-com? I feel like there could be something that is... Wait, isn't there a show from the 90s that's about aliens?
What's Third Rock from the Sun about?
That, I think it's that one.
I think it's Third Rock from the Sun.
Or 30 Rock, one of the two.
Our fact checker fans are going to light us up about this one, aren't they?
Probably.
Did you know in the first like two episodes we got it real wrong about the requirements to be president?
did we really?
I got fact checked by some friends. They were like, no, you idiot, it's not 45, it's 35.
Really? It's only 30? You only have to be 35 years old? I'm only 6 years away from being president then.
Hell yeah.
Vote for me.
Vote for Travis after you vote for President Cockatoo.
No, before, and then I will be... No, yeah, no, President Cockatoo, and then I'll be Cockatoo's vice president.
Ooh.
And I'll step up after that.
The first bird.
First bird. Okay. All right. Okay, so let's look back to Drops of Jupiter. All right. I would assume most people would just take this as some sort of allegory or symbolism.
I think allegories specifically reference the Bible, so I don't know that this would be considered an allegory. Please stop fact-checking us on this shit.
I don't think they specifically reference the Bible. I believe an allegory is just a symbolic depiction.
Okay, I accept. You're right. I just looked it up.
Though I don't know if it's visual or what, but either way, I would state
that. What if Train Mate, because the lyrics in some of their later songs aren't as buck wild as Drops of Jupiter. What if they made Drops of Jupiter and then it got real popular and then they got a little visit from the old CIA men in black suits?
What if instead of an actual alien that he fell in love with, he fell in love with Valentina Tereshkova, the first woman to have rocketed into space in 1963?
You're telling me that instead of Pat Monahan being in love with an extraterrestrial, he's in love with the first female cosmonaut?
She was also a textile worker, so she's tough.
I was going to say, she looked bad or not?
She's homely looking.
Oh, wow, that's kind of rude, considering our huge Russian listener base.
Abraham Lincoln was once described as homely. It's not a bad thing.
I think it is.
I mean, I don't...
On a scale of one to Judge Roy Bean, how sexy is she?
Nothing beats Judge Roy Bean.
He's a very sexy man.
She's, you know... Here, I'll bring up a picture so our viewers can see her. And by viewers, I mean you.
I like her.
Look at the medal she's got.
Decorated. I love her. Leave her alone.
So we have... I think he fell in love with this Valentina Tereshkova.
But she didn't go to Jupiter that we know
of. She was in space. She saw it all.
She didn't go to Jupiter. Venus, maybe. All the shit he's talking about Venus, I think that one's a little more possible.
Venus is just as dangerous as Jupiter.
It's not about danger. It's about travel distance.
I believe the first time I ever visited Venus was like 2 years ago.
Well, there's no fucking reason to visit Venus. It's a trash planet.
Trash planet with trash inhabitants. Come at me, people of Venus.
But okay, hear me out on the extraterrestrial thing though, right? Because then in Hey Soul Sister, he talks about your lipstick stains on the front lobe of my left side brains.
He said left side brains. It's plural. Pat Monahan is an alien.
Pat Monahan is an alien. Oh.
He's got two brains. Okay.
He's got two
possibly
brains.
More, because he says left side brains. That can lead me to believe that he's got more than one brain just on the left side.
Okay. All right. But maybe he's trapped here.
Maybe. I know that there's TV shows about that.
No, there's TV shows about that. Is time travel anything in this? Do you think we could shoehorn some time travel into this idea?
Probably. Were radios invented when this song was written?
No, radios did not exist in
2009. It's on Save Me San Francisco, which was released in 2009.
Don't even fucking at me about.
I just added train that fucking train. I mean, time travel can be a part of anything, really. Haven't you seen Looper?
I sure have.
I haven't either.
I don't have the attention span for movies.
So on the front lobe of my left side brain, so and from this right here, we can take that he has more than one brain on his left side.
Okay, I will admit that, yes, it's very likely that Pat Monahan, he's saying it's his brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but he, like, there's nothing in the song that would indicate that it's a functioning piece of his body.
Oh.
What if he just has a brain collection? Yeah, he just has a brain collection.
I guess it's not the weirdest thing. Maybe he's an amateur medical examiner. Well, this song was released in 2009, but do you think it was written in like 1800?
Are you suggesting he is aged less, or are you suggesting that he simply like transcribed the ancient texts into a song and that's what we have?
Oh no, I was going with time travel.
Time travel. Yes.
Perfect. Hey Soul Sister, ain't that Mr. Mister? On the radio, stereo. I don't even know what that means.
Mr. Mister is an artist. This one references an old, I think, 80s artist.
I did not know that.
That's because you're not old, but I am.
I'm 813 years old.
I only know that lyric because my mommy told me about that one when Train got popular. So shout out to my mom for listening to the podcast and not getting mad at me for the bad things I say.
Since we're kind of on the topic of song lyrics that make no sense, there actually are a few that can kind of come to the tip of my mindy mind.
Okay. From other bands or from Train?
From other bands.
Your knowledge of Train isn't that deep, is it?
It's not.
Okay.
This was like a pretty big one-hit wonder. Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen.
I recall that.
She says, before you came into my life, I missed you so bad.
Yeah, she's a time traveler. That one's easy. I can solve that one right there. She's a time traveler, too.
I survive on the breath you are finished with. That one is Come Back to Bed by John Mayer.
Say that one again.
I survive on the breath you are finished with. He's a plant.
He's a fucking plant. Or he's a murderer.
Or he's talking about plants, possibly. Maybe he's like really liking, like you're really into plants.
I'm a big John Mayer fan too, because I'm apparent inside of me lives in a middle-aged Midwest mother it's more likely to me that John Mayer is a serial murderer and he's talking about taking somebody's life than it is likely that John Mayer would care about plants.
It's more likely that John Mayer is a murderer than but he hates plants.
If my choice is John Mayer is talking about his plants that survive off of his breath,
be surviving off the plant's breath, which isn't particularly scientifically wrong.
Actually, you know what? I would much rather live in the world where all of John Mayer's songs are written about his plants.
His fucking plants. He loves trees.
He loves them. He's got just a whole nursery, and that's what people think his songs are about, like Taylor Swift and shit, but it's actually about his ficus.
Those are just a couple songs that I was just like, you know what? These lyrics don't make sense. And I know that there's more out there.
Half of My Heart is what I was thinking about. I think that one's supposed to be about Taylor Swift. But what if it's about his ficus?
Probably about his ficus.
Nothing in the song really indicates. So here's the thing. You probably don't remember the song. He's croning about how half of his heart is always going to exist with what you assume is Taylor Swift back in 2009, 2000 something.
Wait, did they date?
Yeah, they dated for a little bit. 2010. Man, we're really getting strong into some early 2000 aughts music, aren't we?
Yeah, I guess so.
So yeah, it's half of his heart is with something, then everybody assumes it's Taylor Swift, but it would make more sense that half of his heart while he's on tour is actually with his ficus that has to stay at home.
Yeah, I don't think he would bring his ficus. Can be pretty temperamental.
Half of my heart is a shotgun wedding to a bride with a paper ring. Trees make paper.
Trees do make paper, and they have rings.
They do have rings. Travis, that's good. Thank you.
Also, there's LFO, or Summer Girls by LFO. None of the lyrics in this song make any sense. It's sort of him just listing things, but I love that song. Like, bring that back. Like, fuck, that song was good.
I'm gonna close this out with another song where the lyrics do make sense, and we probably should talk about them. Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO. Okay.
This song was very popular when I was in college.
Yeah, Party Rock is in the house tonight. Everybody just have a good time. These guys mastered lyrics that make sense.
Very straightforward.
Everything is straightforward in the song. On the rise to the top, no lead in our Zeppelin. They not only make sense in this one, they take fucking shots. Shots fired at Led Zeppelin in that one. They say, your shit made no sense, dog.
Fuck you.
And they shot him. They shot him right in
the
head.
And they danced really weird.
They danced amazingly, and I don't know why you would deny the
shuffling. That they don't dance very well, but it's weird.
Consider this straight banger of a line. Hating is bad. That's it. Hating is bad.
That is.
Can you imagine thinking hating is good, and then you hear LMFAO's Party Rock Anthem, and you go, hating's bad.
Hating's bad. And then you're just like, oh yeah, it is.
One more shot for us. Please fill up my cup. How fucking polite of LMFAO. These guys are international superstars at this point, and he's still saying, please fill up my cup.
Please.
Please. He's going up to the bartender and he doesn't say, give me another one. He says, can you please fill up my cup? I would like another drink, ma'am. Or sir.
just very polite. I've seen interviews with them, and they seem like nice, polite people.
They made these songs that just spoke truth and made complete sense, and then they dipped out.
Yeah, fuck. Like they done anything in the last...
No, they stopped
years?
Making music in, like, 2015, I believe, something like that. And I'm about to blow your mind with the best fact I know about LMFAO. They're uncle and nephew.
Wait, what?
They are a uncle and nephew duo.
Huh. Like us.
Just like us. Uncle Travis.
Are we the next LMFAO, Uncle John?
We could both be uncle and we could both be nephew. That makes sense. Yeah. We will be the next LMFAO when David Bateson releases Blorf and we drop our hot mixtape based off the beats that are on Blorf. Available May 15th in Bandcamp.
Since we're talking about lyrics right now, I do want to just say that my favorite rap lyric of all time is "Real G's move in silence like lasagna."
It took you so long to figure out what that one meant, didn't it?
No, I got that one right away. I fucking love that one.
Oh, because you know how to spell. Big, look at the big flexor over
right,
here.
Right, you're colorblind. You can't read.
Don't know how to read or spell.
Correct.
They performed at the Super Bowl, and then just stopped. They said, "All right,
we peaked. We're done.
We're done."
Interesting. I kind of want them. Maybe they're what could stop all this hate in the world currently.
Can you imagine if LMFA? Yeah, it was pretty downhill after they left.
It really
huh?
was. 2015 Damn. To now has really kind of just been straight downhill.
Red Foo, Sky Blue, please return to us. We need you now more than ever.
Like everybody was really upset about Daft Punk like breaking up or like not producing any more music, but like whatever.
They did music for like 30 years.
Yeah, like it's time. Like okay, cool.
LMFAO made music for like 3 years, went to the Super Bowl, and then said, we done.
Deuces.
So they didn't, I'm reading this, in their press release, they didn't say they're actually breaking up. We're family and stuff, so it's always love.
That's possibility of them coming back then.
Yeah, they left the door open to come back in.
Or do you think that they'll pass us the torch in some sort of shuffling ceremony?
It's very possible. I'll tweet at them after this and see what happens.
Yeah, perfect.
Do we want to do a hunger strike until LMFAO returns?
I don't, but I think this is a perfect little segue into what you've been doing for the past week, John. Why don't you tell our thousands of listeners what the fuck you've been doing for the past week?
I did not eat. For the past week, I did not eat for 5 continuous days.
What?
And for
why?
Not for any like specific religious reason, because it is close to Ramadan.
It is. I was just about to ask if you were doing it in support, maybe, but
no. I guess I could have tied. I probably could have tied it to some sort of bigger cause than just me trying to see what my body does when it doesn't get food. But it really was just like, let's see where this takes me.
Interesting.
And the answer, it wasn't too bad. I will say it wasn't as bad as you would immediately think. Like, day one is probably the hardest in terms of, like, cravings and forgetting that you're not supposed to be eating things. And then after that, it's just sort of, you get bored a lot because, like, you don't realize how often you get kind of bored and you just snack on something.
Did you poop?
Not really, no.
I guess that makes sense.
There's just nothing there. There's nothing in the whole body.
How often did you pee?
Right, I was drinking a lot of water. I did drink water. I didn't give up all...
everything.
all requirements blobby. For living. No. I did drink water and coffee, and then as you know, I had a daily beer.
Yes.
To see how that would affect me, and honestly, it didn't do much one way or the other.
Did you get anything out of this? Was there a revelation that you had? What was your high point and what was your low point?
My high point was yesterday, I think, when I was maybe Wednesday. The days run together now, but I was cooking food for everybody else in the house that is still eating.
For our listeners, John lives with 83 other people.
83 old men. But I was cooking them some chicken and some couscous and vegetables and stuff. And I had made like it's like a dill dip kind of half-assed tzatziki sauce. Like there's okay. No cucumber in it, but it's got dill weed and some other spices and stuff.
Close enough.
And I mixed that motherfucker up and then I like absentmindedly licked the spoon to see how it tasted. And it was life-changing.
Just the best thing you'd ever fucking tasted.
Every individual spice I put in it, the garlic, the little bit of cumin and paprika that was in there, I could taste every single bit of that, and it was wild. And now I'm on like the opposite kick. You saw before we were recording, I was eating what I've coined the Totino's party burrito, where I wrapped a Totino's party pizza in a tortilla and ate it like a burrito.
Okay. Revolutionary.
And that it's like a wave, right? Like there's the peak health, which was not eating anything, and then there's like the bottom.
That's the peak where of health is not eating anything. Okay,
you heard it from me. Not medical advice. Please don't take this as medical advice. Disclaimer: we're not liable for anything you do to your body as a result of our podcast.
Joe Rogan can give medical advice. Why can't we?
How about you go fight Joe Rogan and then you can give medical advice? I was sort of pitching the idea to some friends, like maybe we could be the next Joe Rogan shilling mushrooms or whatever he fucking is selling right now. And I think they said it's DMT that he's trying to get people to do or whatever.
He's pretty buck fucking wild.
He is, and I gotta give him credit for being buck fucking wild. We do enjoy that. But I think we could start selling PCP.
It makes you real fucking strong.
Hey, everybody out there, this is medical advice. Do PCP. It will make you strong.
I don't know where to get it. I think you can get it at the closest Costco.
Go to Lowe's. Talk to somebody hanging outside of Lowe's that has a Lowe's basket but has no products from Lowe's. They might be able to tell you where to acquire PCP.
Shout out to Pascagoula, Mississippi, where everybody outside the Walmart could tell you where to go find meth.
Shout out to Pascagoula, Mississippi, the birthplace of Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, yeah.
We love you, Jimmy. God, I love Jimmy Buffett. His song lyrics make some sense.
They do. John, what was your low point?
The low point? I will be honest. I'm not trying to get toilet humor into this podcast, but you did ask about me going to the bathroom, and I woke up at 4 a.m. last night, and it was a massacre in there. I won't lie. I can't lie to the viewers.
That's interesting.
It was a bad time. That might have been my low point.
I don't want to turn this into some fart noise toilet humor sort of DJ jockey thing, but I asked if you poop just out of like medical curiosity.
The answer is not really until 4 a.m. last night.
And I find that interesting. Why did it take that long?
I don't want to know. The mystery, the body is a beautiful, wonderful mystery that no one understands.
No one. I'm glad you did this for science. This was the peak of bathtub science, I would say.
Well, my original, I'll also be honest, like my original thought process was like, I better be really funny to film the fucking podcast after not eating for 4 days. But it got to the point that the only thing, like, I would not be funny right now. I wouldn't be thinking about LMFAO. I wouldn't be able to joke about anything. I was only thinking about food. I was Googling food that we ate in San Diego. That I'm never gonna get it again.
I did notice that like this week you had frequently talked about food that I'm like, I don't remember that, but
we like drunken pizza that we just had one night and see, like there was no reason to bring it up. I looked up there was this barbecue place in San Diego that I used to go to, and I like me talking about us getting pizza that one time, I was like, oh shit, I wonder what the barbecue place is up to. It's closed. I nearly cried when I realized it was closed, because I wasn't gonna get it again. Probably I don't intend to go back to California, but the idea that I can't, it's permanently closed and I cannot go back and get the tri-tip sandwich that they have. I'll never get it again. I looked it up on Google Maps just to make sure Google wasn't lying to me, and it's like got a for sale sign from a commercial realty in front of it.
Damn.
It's closed.
I'm glad you had this journey.
It was a good journey, and I did think I was going to get good content, and I guess this is sort of good content, but if I hadn't eaten the Totino's party burrito earlier, I would not be able to do this right now. I would just... it would be like a fucking verbal version of Diners, Drives-In, and Dives.
Which might not be a bad idea.
I would listen to Guy Fieri eat food on a podcast. Like, not even describe it, just eat the food on the podcast.
why don't we get into our rebrand? Do you want to get into our rebrand, or do you want to move on to our other topic?
I want to rebrand. All right, because I think this is an important rebrand.
Yeah, it is.
we've given the Queen of England enough time to grieve, right? I think she's back to work. I read that earlier this week. She's already, whatever fucking work she does.
Do you think there's any like real amount of work that's being done by the Queen? Like, honestly, all the comments age, she's a queen to begin with, and like at her age, you really want to do anything?
You could make the argument that queens do not work, but at her age, just standing is technically work.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I also, when I ate that sauce when I was fasting on day 3 or 4, I had the thought that like a single Altoid breath mint would kill me.
Just too much flavor.
it would be too much at once.
What if you had eaten a Dorito?
Maybe. Who knows?
Fucking knows.
I mean, I guess I could do it again and we could like test different things at different points, but that's, I don't know that I want to do it again. It was very boring.
It was not as exciting as you were hoping for.
Yeah, it wasn't a pain thing. Like I could physically do it again. It wasn't, you know, painful, or it was just very fucking boring.
Okay.
Okay, so the queen,
yes,
is a single lady now.
She is.
Shout out to Beyonce, All My Single Ladies.
All
put your hands up.
Ladies, All My Single Ladies.
Okay, that's all you can say before we get a cease and desist. That's all you can say before we get a cease and desist. So the queen is single, which, like, she's going to have a lot of suitors, probably. There's some other monarchs that are going to want to merge with the United Kingdom now that they're free agent from the European Union. We're definitely looking at the what could possibly be the eldest monarch to ever get married.
Okay, yes.
Right?
But, I mean, I don't know about ever. History is a pretty long time.
I don't think it's that long.
At least a few years. I would say at least 29 years. I've been around for 29.
Human history in relation to the history of the universe, it's like literally, it's less than the blink of an eye.
I'll show you a blink of an eye.
We're essentially existing at the same time as T-Rexes in the grand scheme of things.
Fuck, how cool would that be? What if the queen married a T-Rex?
Standpoint. We'll get back to that. We gotta rebrand weddings, because we rebranded gender reveal parties, which wedding is a precursor to gender reveal parties.
Typically,
a lot.
Yeah.
Not saying that has to happen. Just saying, generally speaking, the types of people that do gender reveal parties are married usually.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I do want to warn that our gender reveal party rebrand ended in a nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then people tried to tweet shit like that. Like, they stole our joke and they tried to tweet it during this last gender reveal disaster that happened.
Classic.
I'm tired of people taking your stuff. Your good jokes. So what do we want to do? What are the big problems with weddings that we need to fix?
All right, so I pulled up on weddings.lovetoknow.com the 7 absolute worst things about weddings.
Oh shit, Travis, can we make one rule straight off the fucking bat, buddy?
Yes.
Wedding dresses have to stay, because we got to keep Randy in business.
Oh yeah, I don't want to fuck with Randy. Randy is our boy.
We love Say Yes to the Dress, and we want that to continue.
The best part
so
of say
wedding
yes
dresses
to the dress is Randy.
Hey, Travis. What if the man and the woman, or the man and the man, or the woman and the woman,
dresses.
both wear dresses? We've just doubled Randy's business.
Randy, you are welcome.
Okay, so yeah, everybody, tuxedos are fucking out. They're stupid.
Boring.
Nobody should wear them. The only garb. Oh, holy shit. Travis.
What?
What if everyone at the wedding was wearing a wedding dress? What if it was
just
the only clothing allowed at weddings?
The only clothing. Everybody must own a wedding dress so they can attend a wedding.
Every wedding has a specific wedding dress, and you all have to buy it and you all have to wear it.
Interesting.
That way, like,
that
you can't buy one wedding.
Prohibitively expensive. Which is actually the number one thing on weddings.lovetoknow.com. The absolute worst thing about weddings is they eat your life savings.
Huh.
That's actually one of the things I would like to change about a wedding. as
you want to make it cheaper,
as someone who has been married but didn't have a wedding, I want to make them cheaper.
Yeah. What if you like, what if we did it away with all the pomp and circumstance stuff and it's just a bunch of people wearing wedding dresses and the
bunch of people wearing wedding dresses in a fucking field or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Just like nature intended. No cell phones, no computers, just 35 people in wedding dresses out in a field.
Okay. So what do you think the most expensive part of a wedding is?
Well, I mean, the venue, probably.
I don't actually know. I've been told it's the flowers.
Maybe the food. Ooh, is it the flowers?
And apparently, according to valuepenguin.com, it's the reception venue.
Noted source of information, valuepenguin.com. Okay, it is the venue?
Yeah.
Okay, save some money, cut corners there by having weddings out in a field, maybe, at a public park.
Can you get married in a public park?
Yeah, it's a public park. That's a good point. You can do literally anything in it. It's basically international waters.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
You could move your wedding out to international waters. Then you gotta own a fucking boat.
It might be cheaper to buy a boat than to have a wedding.
I think in some instances, yes, it depends on the type of boat, but fair. We have a couple kayaks we could rent out to, like, because I guess you don't have to rent a single boat big enough for everyone. You just need a boat. Yeah, just everybody. So everybody has to have their own wedding dress. Everybody has to have their own boat of some sort. Some sort of aquatic vessel that can reach approximately 13 nautical miles from shore.
In essence, what you're proposing is a strict set of rules.
It's not a strict set of rules. It is simply how can we cut corners to save people money on their weddings besides the dress? Everybody has to have a dress. We got to do Randy a solid.
Right.
By giving dresses everyone a dress. Dresses stay. I had a thought about flowers, right? And I don't know. I think it could be pretty good. The problem with flowers, right, is they die.
Correct.
Very quickly. In the time span of the universe, they're practically not even alive.
Okay. If that's how we're going to compare everything, but yeah, okay.
I guess it's the comparison I've established with this line of thinking. But what does live longer than flowers is birds.
And humans.
Friend of the podcast, birds.
Okay, so no more flowers on tables, birds on tables.
Birds on tables. And free range. Here's how this, I know, it just depends. I mean, you gotta get the... Okay, yeah, free range, all natural birds. I know what you're thinking. Birds cost more than flowers, John. You're fucking stupid. No, I'm not. I'm a genius. Cause guess what? The birds will live for 50 years. What if everyone brought their own bird to decorate their table? The bird might outlive you.
But even
if everybody doesn't have their own bird, because we're getting into a lot of individual responsibility really, here. Like,
what this has boiled down to thus far is individual responsibility. Everybody needs
to shit. Hey, shut up. BYOB, bring your own bird.
Okay. Here's one thing about weddings that absolutely 100% needs to stay, and it should be mandatory in any wedding. A full bar at the reception that you don't have to pay for. Fully stocked.
That's where the money gets made up, right? You've purchased your own dress, you've purchased your own boat, you've brought your own BYOB, bring your own bird, but you don't have to pay for drinks, and that evens out in the long run, I'd say.
I'm tired. I frequent weddings. I've been to a wedding probably once a week for the past 6 years.
Even during the pandemic,
yeah,
huh?
We're irresponsible.
Travis is a piece of shit.
We wear poopy suits,
but we love them. Oh, okay, you've been to hazmat mandatory weddings.
Realistically speaking, I've actually only been to like two weddings, but during both of those weddings, I don't want to interact with people if I'm sober. And not that I'm an alcoholic by any means, but, like, I am not interacting with my extended family while I'm sober.
Oh, who goes to family weddings? Fuck that.
I actually don't know that I've ever been to a family wedding, so I guess
that's... Here's the other thing about the birds. I'm going to get off the birds after I say this one thing. Is even if it's not BYOB, right? Bird rental services will be through the roof. And it's got to be cheaper than flowers because you can't rent the flowers. You have to buy them outright. But if you can just rent birds for a day.
You think that renting birds for a day is cheaper than buying flowers?
Yeah, one cockatoo, one macaw per table maybe, something like that. Can't be that expensive. You got to understand supply and demand, baby. Everybody's trying to get married. Everybody needs a bird. It'll make sense.
Doesn't that put the bird prices through the roof?
No. I'm currently in an economics class, and what will happen is the bird price will rise to equilibrium until it gets too high, and then people will stop doing birds, and then the price will lower. There's also a principle of substitution products, substitute goods, where people, once the price gets too high, will start to substitute the birds with something else. So maybe like a nice lizard or a raccoon.
Just a tanuki. Animal Crossing is pretty big. It was pretty big.
Still exists. I know that.
It definitely still exists. Has not disappeared.
Hey, let us know on Twitter or in our email if y'all want us to start streaming Animal Crossing, and we'll do it.
Okay. I don't own Animal Crossing, but I will stream it, I guess.
If we get three people in our inboxes somewhere asking us to do Animal Crossing streams, we'll do it.
I will call it an Animal Crossing stream, and it'll be whatever game I'm currently playing.
Perfect. What else are we going to do? What are the other parts of a wedding? The food. Oh, Travis.
What?
This isn't humane, disclosure, but what if you killed the bird and ate it for your dinner at the wedding?
Okay. Each person has to find and kill their own bird. Or do you think that one, like slaughtering one bird in front of someone as the wedding party, like the best man has to slaughter the bird for the couple being married?
Are you proposing one bird to feed everyone? Because that'd have to be big bird.
Well, I'm not. That bird would be symbolic, like the stomping on a cup. Like not everybody stomps on a cup. Just the one person stomps on a cup to symbolize that they're no longer allowed to drink out of cups.
Wait, why did we get rid of cups? To save money? Are we saving money right now, or
I'm trying to save money, and you're trying to spend money.
I'm not trying to spend money.
In those weddings where they say "oopa" and stomp on a glass, I don't know if those are Jewish weddings or Greek weddings.
I think it's both. Maybe I don't know. Somebody fact check us on that, listeners. You're on it.
And the stomping on the glass represents that couple is no longer allowed to use cups for the rest of their life. They can only drink out of bowls and their hand.
Is that real?
Yeah.
The Greek just drinking out of their... Oh, the married Greek just drinking out of their hands?
Yeah, just wine straight from their cupped hands or bowls.
From a faucet. Or
straight from the faucet would be fine, yeah. Anything but a cup.
Wine faucet.
Vase. Lamp.
Okay.
Someone's skull.
Oh, that'd be badass. What if it was the bird skull from your wedding?
Yeah, that's what that means.
Another thing we have to get rid of, I think, is destination weddings.
Yes, there's no reason for it. You don't need to fly to Hawaii to have your goddamn wedding. Your Aunt Janice doesn't want to spend fucking $4,000 to fly out to goddamn Hawaii for 2 days so she can be a part of your wedding. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. What is mandatory vacations? What is this? Soviet Russia? Like, hey, Putin, don't get mad at us.
Or do,
actually. Be good PR. What other thoughts do you have for weddings?
I got some thoughts for weddings. Like, what about the ring?
Do you want to replace it with a different type of jewelry?
I want to get rid of it.
You don't want to wear anything.
I think it shows ownership. Not just like, I think it shows ownership both ways, and I don't like that.
You think it's a symbol of the patriarchy and we need to abolish it.
I would not say specifically patriarchy, but probably it is most likely how that started, yes.
Seems like a symbol of the patriarchy because you make the woman, the lady, as it were, ladies, wear an engagement ring, but the man is free to go to strip clubs and do whatever he wants. And I think that's very sexist.
Correct.
Right? Like, you don't have to do it until it's absolutely necessary, but your fiance has to wear one for the 5 years you're engaged or whatever.
Hopefully people are engaged that long, but yes.
I wouldn't know.
One thing that I'm very glad kind of went away on its own was those weird dances and shit people did down the aisle on the...
Okay.
But taking that place is the weird pictures people take beforehand, like the Star Wars, like, force choke picture and shit like that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not really wedding's fault, I guess. It's, like, I hate pictures in general, so I guess we gotta get rid of photographers, probably.
Yeah, no more photographers.
Alright, we have a culling of all the photographers.
It's a cost-saving measure. Just wedding photographers. Everybody else is okay.
No.
Oh, everybody.
All photographers. Everybody.
Okay.
Enemy of the podcast photographers.
Okay. Give us a closing thought on weddings. Like, I would not call this a wildly successful rebrand. We were on pretty separate pages here.
I was trying to save money.
I don't. Okay. You at one point you went to an economics lecture,
as all wedding discussions should.
That's fair.
Result in you don't. You're not telling. Okay, shut the fuck up. You're not telling me. You wouldn't be fucking jazzed if you got an invitation to a wedding and you had to wear a dress to this wedding, row a fucking boat out into the middle of the ocean to do it, and then after the wedding happens, you row back to shore where you have to eat at a table that has a live bird entertaining you.
I'm all about
it. And then at the open bar, they serve you five loco.
Five loco.
That brings us to the advertisement portion of our podcast. Five loco. It the next generation of four loco.
Do you remember when four loco really just started killing everybody? Well, five locos, so here to bring those people back to life.
Five loco. Get back to life. Should we tweet at Four Loko until they make Five Loko exist?
Yes. Also, shout out to Four Loko for being our first sponsor on the podcast.
That's true, I think. I think we talked about some other sponsor before that. But Cinco de Mayo's coming up. Four Loko, please make Five Loko the loco that brings you back to life.
Asterix does not actually bring people back to life.
What would it do? What do you think it would do?
Zombies.
Okay. Just actual zombies. Do you think there's anyone on this planet that, like, if Four Loko released the next generation of malt liquor and it accidentally made zombies, they would be surprised that Four Loko did it?
No. I think that's the exact... People are like, yeah, it's Four Loko.
Okay, Four Loko did their thing. Cinco de Loko.
Yeah, but Cinco de Mayo is coming up. And true fashion, we need to do something for it.
We're gonna invent Five Loko
because Cinco de Mayo is a celebration of something.
I don't think it's Mexican independence. People incorrectly think it's Mexican independence, but I don't think it's that.
We're gonna Google it. It is Mexico's army over the victory of French Empire.
Well, hey, French listener, we're sorry that we're glorifying Mexico's victory over you, but we do not support colonialism in any form. So
let us
sorry.
Know when France's Independence Day thing is, and we'll celebrate the shit out of that, too.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Hey, French listener, please tweet at us, send us emails, let us know some sort of France holiday that we will celebrate on the podcast. Cinco de Loco, right? That's what it is this year for us. I think me and you, we don't have to do it right now. I think we should come up with what we think Five Loko is.
Okay.
Right? Some sort of actual Four Loko cocktail, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I like the idea of that.
Because I have eaten the Totino's party burrito, so I do feel like my body is ready to consume Four Lokos again.
Okay.
So I think we'll both come up with whatever we think Five Loko is, and we can both make it, and maybe we can review it next week on the podcast. We don't have to make them for the podcast. Maybe we do. I think that's
I
good.
Think we should next drink week them when we record the podcast.
We will drink whatever Five Loko is on the podcast.
And if anybody has any suggestions on what Five Loko should be, send us an email at momsandus@gmail.com.
I think it's momsandus@gmail.com.
Or heywaitshutup@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's the more likely one to work. Let us know any way you can. Send us a letter. We don't care. Carrier pigeon. Lots of options here.
So if Five Loko.
Five Loko.
It.
The next generation.
The next generation. I hear it is what they served on the Starship Enterprise. Do you think Five Loko is enough to celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah. So Five Loko. There's sort of two thought processes in my mind for what the Five Loko will be. One is it could be Four Loko five ways.
Okay, that's just something sort of, I had not considered.
Sort of like five separate Four Loko concoctions in like a flight situation.
Interesting, okay. Kind of aged differently.
Yeah, expertly aged.
This one was stored in an aluminum barrel. This one was stored in an oak barrel, maple.
Yeah. Different vintages. The other thought I had is it's Five Loko, the next generation, right? What if it transcended liquid form?
Oh, vapor.
Right? And this is not vapor, you fucking idiot. Food. Like, what if you remember how Epic Mealtime used to do, like, fucking, we made Jack Daniel's pancakes, and they're covered in bacon grease.
Okay, yes.
Like, what if it was something in, like, that similar vein, right?
I don't think anybody wants to eat Four Loko food.
Not yet, because they haven't seen Five Loko.
Okay.
I'm thinking... you know how there's beer battered chicken?
Oh, God.
Oh, what if it was Loko battered chicken? Five Loko, and it's just a whole fried chicken.
So I think we're missing the target audience on this one. So you're just
who the fuck is the target audience?
Four Loko's target audience is broke college students just trying to get fucked up.
What if the chicken got you drunk? That was Colonel Sanders' real dream, was for this chicken to get you drunk. What if it's 11 herbs and spices, but one of those herbs is Four Loko? What do you... Okay, Mr. Five Loko Big Shot, what do you got?
Honestly, I don't know what I have yet. The creative genius in me isn't stirring yet.
I will say I do like the idea of vaping a Four Loko.
I would vape a Four Loko. Big news on that front. New medication for depression. Should stop smoking because of it.
I thought you were about to say you could vape your antidepressants now. Oh, and honestly,
fuck,
holy shit,
that might get more people on antidepressants.
Yeah, Big Pharma, get at us. If you could Juul your fucking Zoloft right now, holy
are
shit.
Are Juuls still really popular with the kids?
Game changer. I think so. I don't know. I'll ask my 4-year-old.
She would know. Do any of the 83-year-old men that you live with? No?
No, they all smoke those long-ass cigarettes with the, you know, the long-ass filters, like some Cruella de Vil shit. All right, Travis, do you have any shout-outs you would like to do this week?
You know what? I think we're going to take a week off from the shout-outs. And we'll come back refreshed. And we'll come back supportive.
We're nothing if not supportive.
I support literally anything.
Literally anything. Speaking of supportive, thank you to all the new listeners we got. We appreciate that. We appreciate all our new listeners. We appreciate all our old listeners. We appreciate if you listened last week and you're listening again this week because it's a new episode. Because that means you liked whatever you heard enough that you wanted to hear more, or you're investigating us for some sort of federal crimes. And that's cool, too.
That is cool.
Shout out FBI. I would also like to thank Devin Bateson, who makes our theme song, or makes a song called Windows off the album Swift Tuttle. That is our theme song. He didn't specifically make it as our theme song, although that would have been tight, too.
Fresh.
David Bateson has a new album of beats coming out called Blurf. You can find that on Bandcamp. Just search David Bateson. Devin Bateson. I just said David Bateson.
David Bateson.
David Bateson is his evil alter ego.
Classic.
And we don't talk about him.
His album is called Florb.
Florb. Flubber, the album. So Devin Bateson makes the song Windows off the album Swift Tuttle that is our theme song. He has a new album called Blurf coming out May 15th. You can find that on Bandcamp. He is also on Twitter at D.E. Bateson. And besides that, Alec Baldwin, you can eat my whole ass.
Those, they kill birds. Windows. Who's gonna raise my baby birds?